This is The Front Porch on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Liz Bulkley, and tonight, the meteoric rise of the world's best-known reindeer. The character we know as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a Depression-era baby. He arrived in 1939 and rose to fame and fortune as an extra to a mail-order catalog. Eventually, songs and movies were made about the glowy-nosed deer, and his story, literally the first written story about Rudolph, is archived at Dartmouth College. Tonight we're going to look at the story of Rudolph, an outsider who saves the day. Our first guest is Bonnie Wallen. She's the curator of the Williams Watson Theater Collection at Rauner's Special Collections Library at Dartmouth College. Bonnie, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Liz. It's nice to be here.
Could you please tell us a story about how Rudolph first came to light?
In 1939, which was the height of the Depression, Montgomery Ward, a department store and very large mail-order catalog company, requested from a man named Robert L. May that he would write a little something, a poem of some sort, to that they could include in their mail-order catalogs and also to be given away as gifts to children who have visited Santa Claus in the various Montgomery Ward stores. So Mr. May took it upon himself. He was in the copyright department and had been to Dartmouth College, so we know he was well-educated. And he started to write this poem. He tried several different times. He wrote it in the style and the meter of Clement Moore's "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," because he thought that it would he would create a story of before the actual Clement Moore story. And it starts out, "'Twas the day before Christmas, and all through the hills the reindeer were playing, enjoying the spills of skating and coasting and climbing the willows and hopscotch and leapfrog protected by pillows." So it's very much in the spirit of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And in this story, Rudolph classically has this, what we would call in modern terms, a disability. He had a red nose, and he was very different from everybody else. And the story goes on from there, which we all know. Mr. May at the time was married and had a child, who was a little girl, Barbara, who was 4 years old, and his wife was very, very ill with what it turned out to be cancer. And so he was very distracted, and so he started to write this poem, and he would read what he had written every night to his daughter to see if she liked it. It's always good to get the kid's point of view, and she thought it was wonderful. He brought it to the Montgomery Ward people, and they didn't like it at first. I'm not sure why, but they just said, "Well, this is not what we were looking for." And so he got another fellow who was part of the copyright and the merchandising department, who was an artist. His name was Denver Gillen, and showed him the poem and had Mr. Gillen do some drawings to illustrate the poem. And he brought it back, and they loved it. Sometimes you need to see somebody else's vision in that was presented in words. So it was published, and that first year it was given out, and over almost 2,500,000 pieces were given out.
That's phenomenal. So
became, yeah, that's especially huge. In 1939. Yeah. And so it was very, very popular, and everybody loved it. Again, it was not the song. It was a poem, and it was very, very different. In the story, Santa finds Rudolph. He's in bed. And Santa's delivering the presents to folks at the North Pole before he goes out. And there's this strange red glow coming out of the room. And he goes in, and it's Rudolph. And sort of a light bulb almost goes off in Santa's head saying, "I can use this guy tonight," because it was a very heavy, overcast, cloudy, foggy Christmas Eve.
Well, how did that story change? That it wasn't like that originally. I mean, that's it originally, and it changed as we know it now.
Because when you it's like taking a play and making it into a movie, or taking a story and putting it into a song, or taking a poem and making it into a novel. You have to include some things and drop other things just for the style. It's a rather long poem, and because there's quite an adventure. They talk about the planes that he flies past, and when he comes home, everybody's cheering, and all these other reindeer who had been so cruel to him, and there's several lines in the poem about them being really cruel to him. He forgives them. He says, it's okay. Come on, let's play some more, kind of thing, which is a very Christmassy kind of thing to do. And they had to leave a lot of that out just to make the song compact and fit into those 3 minutes that songs in those days were recorded at. So, and also as a kind of an interesting side thing, Mr. May, when he was a young boy, was very sickly. And so he spent a lot of time not being able to go outside and play and that sort of thing. And so he sort of like was never asked to play in other reindeer games, you want to make that thing. And so he understood what it was like to be different from everybody else and to overcome it. Using whatever you have, whatever, you know, things you have in your head, in your body that you can use.
This is The Front Porch on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Liz Bulkland. Today we're talking about the creation of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He was created for a catalog, sort of, in 1939 and remains one of the most popular Christmas characters to date. We're talking with Bonnie Wallen. She's the curator of the Williams Watson Theater Collection at Rauner's Special Collections Library at Dartmouth College.
Montgomery Ward published Rudolph every year and gave it out year after year after year until about the second or third year of the Second World War, when we really started to suffer in this country from lack of common items such as paper and nylons and metal and that sort of thing. It was all put into the war effort. So Montgomery Ward stopped publishing it because it was kind of a waste of paper. But in 1946, they started up again, and they published it one last year. All this time, Mr. May never got a cent from the Rudolph, because when you work for a corporation like that, they have the copyright, and you just work for them, no matter what your creative background was for whatever it is they're selling. And so in 1946, they published it for what they considered the last time, and 3,600,000 copies were passed out in 1946. And then they thought that this is the last time we're going to do this, and Rudolph has sort of run its course. And Mr. May, who was still working for them, his wife had passed away after a long, hard illness, and he had lots of bills and that sort of thing to pay. And a member of the merchandising team went to Sewell Avery, who was the head of the board of directors at Montgomery Ward, and said, "Give the man the copyright. You know, we've used it up. Just give it to him.
Oh, boy.
Maybe he can make some money on it," which I think was a very nice gesture, because things don't often happen that way. So on January 1st, 1947, the copyright was passed to Mr. May, and he hit the ground running and never stopped.
And Montgomery Ward isn't exactly around in a big way anymore.
Right. And he found a publisher out in Lawrence, Kansas, I believe, to publish the poem in hardcover. And it was the same as what was passed out, but again, it was bigger and was a bound hardcover, and the illustrations were just – Denver Gillan's illustrations are absolutely marvelous. And so he started to make some money on it. And one of the first things he did was to license the name Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that's still in effect. And you can't really publish any pictures of a deer with a red nose unless it's been given permission by the Robert L. May Company. So he has everything. Every plush toys, slippers, ballpoint pens, mugs, painted ties. We have a wonderful painted tie, you know, from the 40s and the early 50s. That is one of those wide things. It's really, really fantastic. We had, of course, all kinds of little reindeer. Sometimes they're ceramic, and sometimes they're teddy bear type of things. And now in the modern age, they have chips in them, and they sing, and they move, and the nose flashes, and all kinds of things. Just tons and tons of stuff that was given, samples of which were given to Dartmouth College as representative for this collection. The premier part of our collection is the actual original manuscript of Rudolph with names and places changed out. He was originally going to call it Rollo the Reindeer or Reginald the Reindeer or Rudy the Reindeer, but he settled with Rudolph. It fit right into the meter of the poem, and it was absolutely perfect. And so, and then he created, he had some friends create him a lawn ornament of Rudolph for his front lawn. He at this point had married for a second time and had four more children, so he had five young children and Rudolph. And it's this wonderful papier-mâché Rudolph that is full size, the size of a young, say, yearling deer, front paws up and nose blinking, big red light.
Wow.
And yeah, and it was on his lawn for years. And Mr. May unfortunately died in 1976, which was the 50th anniversary of his class at Dartmouth. And they all got together, his surviving alums, and they paid to have Rudolph repaired and refinished and given to the Dartmouth College Library. And so we have Rudolph in 1989 on the 50th anniversary of his creation. He was in the rotunda at the front of the Hopkins Center in all his glory, blinking away. And 2 years ago, which was the 65th anniversary of his birth, if you want to call it a birth, we had it in at Rauner Library in Special Collections. This was his 15 minutes of fame, and he stretched it out into 40 years, which is a pretty remarkable thing.
Do you have any sense of why the original story, you've got the manuscript there, how it ended up being so cemented in American popular culture?
Well, that's what it is. It's part of popular culture. It's people in 1939 were looking for a good, happy story with a good ending. They were on the throes of the Second World War, though they didn't know it. And but they everybody was poor, and this was just a bright and happy thing that shows that even if you're down and out, you can take what you have and make it into something wonderful and help people and do good things. That's all I can think of. It's the underdog winning, coming to his own, you know, getting something good for a change that they deserve, he or she deserves. That's all I can say. and then of course the song came out.
Right, and that changed the story and the popularity immensely.
Well, it just increased it. It introduced Rudolph to a whole new generation of children. Things were changing. People weren't caring about reading little you know throwaway books, and that's basically what they were. They were made out of newsprint. They crumbled and died, as all newsprint does sooner or later. First of all, the record industry had, after the Second World War, everything sort of blossomed because now we had all the resources that we needed to do anything we wanted to do. And so Johnny Marks is the man who wrote the song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the words and the music. In some sources that I've seen, it said that Johnny Marks was the brother-in-law of Robert L. May. I have no idea if this is true, but that would certainly be an interesting connection. So he wrote this song and the music, and he jobbed it around to various singers, and nobody wanted to record it. Bing Crosby turned it down. Dinah Shore, among other people, turned it down. And Gene Autry turned it down.
but ended
Mrs.
up?
Mrs. Autry liked it and said, put it on the B-side of your Christmas record. And the B-side being the lesser of important sides. And, of course, nobody today, or very few, I do, because I had the record when I was a child, knows what the A side was.
And what is that?
Rudolph, it's If It Doesn't Snow on Christmas, which, of course, we in New Hampshire and the whole northern New England are worried about that fact right now.
Good. This is The Front Porch. I'm Liz Bulkley. Tonight we're talking about the origins and marketing phenomenon of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
one.